Hey everybody, for the next episode on our podcast, we thought we'd reach out and chat with somebody who delivers social services in Kingston. And who better to chat with than Pavna Varma, the CEO of Kingston's United Way. Pavna has been running the United Way for the last 20 years and has a ton of experience in understanding the needs of people in our community, and in particular during a time like this with COVID-19. So without further ado, let's chat with Pavna. Okay, so thanks a lot for taking the time to chat with me. I've been talking to a number of different people in the community just to get a sense of the impact that COVID-19 is having throughout our community. And obviously one of the sectors that, you know, has really been hit hard by this, because we're hearing it from a lot of not-for-profits, is the fact that, you know, revenues have started to dry up. Demand for services is a lot higher. Can you give a bit of an update as to, from the United Way's perspective, what the impacts of COVID-19 have been?
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right. The demand has grown incredibly. Our agencies are finding it really difficult to keep up. Firstly, a lot of them are not using volunteers just for safety reasons, to make sure volunteers are safe and their staff are safe, physical distancing. These are small spaces anyway. But what's been amazing to watch is the innovation that's coming out of the nonprofit sector. They're all finding different ways to serve their clients and do it so compassionately and in such a caring way. Food security seems to be the biggest issue right across the community, whether it's access for food for people who can afford it but just can't get to a grocery store, but also people who just can't afford food. They've lost their income, they're struggling. So we're seeing a lot of increase in meals right across Kingston and the area, actually. And that's what most of our agencies are focusing on. Donations are fewer just because there aren't that many places open. It's just harder to get reclaimed food. And so that's what the United Way has been doing a lot of, is kind of investing in things like, they're doing takeout now instead of meal services. So takeout containers are expensive. So where we can, they can get donations. Where not, we just have to fund agencies to respond appropriately. Staffing is also an issue because as they've got fewer volunteers, they need to still maintain higher levels of service. So that's another place that we're seeing. The other population that as you can anticipate is struggling are the hardest to serve, who are on the street. And while it hasn't been an increase in numbers because the shelters are doing an amazing job of intake, what we're seeing is they're more visible. And we're trying to make sure that they know where the services are so they can get a meal. Some of them are not ready for a shelter. They're not comfortable or able to function in a group setting. So we're trying to find different options. So we've actually increased funding for an extra outreach worker who can start talking to people who are on the street. The city's done a great job of moving the shelters to places where people can actually physically distance and self-isolate. But we're also seeing pressure on addictions, mental health, detox, just basically the vulnerable people.
I find that to be really interesting, because normally the idea behind a shelter, for example, is you try to shelter as many people as possible. Yeah. And so you end up with a closed-in space that has a lot of people in it. And this is the exact opposite of what social distancing is about, right?
Exactly.
So do you know some examples of what they're doing in shelters to try to physically distance people, or?
Yeah, actually what they're doing is the city has been amazing. They have leased two spaces, one on Union Street and across on the East End, the old retirement home. So they've right. actually allowed it so people can distance themselves, because in the old shelter it was just physically not possible. In the youth shelter you had eight boys on one floor with one bathroom and seven girls on another. There was no physical distance. There were four boys in a room. So this has at least allowed them separate spaces. There's still a lot of work to be done, bedding and painting and fixing up the places, but in the meantime they're doing that. They're also, the staff are being very great about making sure that they keep the distance and learn to wash their hands more regularly than like most kids. But also we're seeing cell phone use, because counseling is now available by phone rather than in person. So some people who are homeless don't have cell phones or tablets to connect with the outside world. So even connecting with staff, so refurbished phones, tablets, they've been very creative about how we continue to serve a very vulnerable population.
I worry about the
fallout of this social distancing and what it means in particular for vulnerable communities later on. So I think of like Pathways to Education, for example. This is an organization whose primary goal is to get kids out of their homes, basically, to get resources that they need that they can't really access in their homes, in order to better, their opportunities and possibilities to graduate from high school and then to go on from that point. And now it's like you've totally removed that resource from these lives and told these kids, okay, now you have to stay in your home. And I'm just worried about the fallout of this later on and what it means for kids, the development and all the work that organizations like that have done over getting to this point. And, you know, is there going to be regressive part to this, or like, what are your thoughts on that?
So certainly there is going to be an impact. There's no doubt. But what's amazing is that, for example, Pathways counselors are reaching out to all the youth that they serve. So they are talking to them now. 25% of those youth don't have cell phones or access. So those are the ones we're still looking at some solution for, that technological solution. But in the meantime, they are reaching out to the youth just to stay in touch. And you're right, these are vulnerable youth to start with. All our agencies are doing that, whether it's CNIB or Girls Inc. or Pathways. They're all reaching out to their clients and talking them through this process, finding them the resources, making sure they're staying in touch.
I can also imagine that for a lot of people that don't have a good handle on what's going on, it might be very overwhelming, given, everything's locked down and things aren't accessible anymore. And unless, you really have the information, it can be a very scary experience for a lot of people, I would imagine.
And counseling. So one of the things we are investing in is additional counseling as well. Resolve Counseling, for example, they've got some clients who were able to pay and now can't. So we're subsidizing those, but they're also able to take new clients as a result of additional funding. So it's the small things that make a difference. Even with counseling, they found that in person, you can have a youth for an hour and it works. But over, a video or a phone, youth don't have that patience. So they're starting to reduce the number of minutes they have for counseling just to allow the youth to, because they get restless after some time, it's fidgety stuff. So everyone's adapting as they can. I'm really impressed with the agencies and the work they do.
And you can definitely see it now. It's like right out there, like the role that these agencies play and the critical importance they are in our community. You mentioned earlier that food banks seem to be a real priority right now, access to food. Would you say that sector of the community or need is the hardest hit by COVID-19 or in the greatest need right now?
Yes, and I don't think we've seen the end of it yet. So the food bank certainly, but St. Vincent de Paul, Lunch by George, Martha's Table, these are all agencies that are serving higher numbers every day. They're talking about maybe they had 50 clients before, now they've got 100 and something people coming to their doors. So far they've been able to cope, and we're just hoping that we can continue to support them and they can keep offering that. Most of them are actually open even over Easter, just because there's no place for people to go otherwise.
And on the other side of things, are you seeing that in terms of food, are the donations increasing with somewhere like the food bank?
What's fascinating is watching both sides. So we see so much, it's almost overwhelming, the response of people who want to help. So we've got a lot of volunteers. We run the volunteer center, so people are registering to volunteer. While we don't have spaces for them just now, not a lot of agencies are looking for volunteers, we anticipate that'll grow. So we just encourage people to keep signing up. And as and when we get opportunities, we'll let them know. We've also started a COVID fund, like all United Ways across the country, for local impact. And we've seen that it's between $160,000, and we've also heard of more money coming in. People are generous in times like this. And a lot of them are, they're impacted themselves, but they're still finding room in their heart and their pocket to support others in need. And we've invested that. So in the first 3 weeks, we've raised over $160,000. We've invested right away close to $90,000.
Speaking of money, I know that the federal government had allocated, I think it was $9 million for specifically to the United Way, and this is across Canada. So, I mean, that's a lot of that's stretching it pretty thin, if you ask me. But, you know, it to help during these difficult times. Your thoughts on that, how Kingston would prioritize some of that funding that was received?
Sure. So we'll get about $65,000 of that $9 million. It's based on population level. So that's what it works out to.
Right.
And what we're doing, it's for seniors. And what we're doing is we're creating a program for seniors on low income who need food. So we're working with Kingston Community Health Center, the Seniors Association, Council on Aging, and our own Retirees United Committee and some volunteers. And we'll be developing food boxes for seniors, basically, that includes not just fresh produce, but also some dry goods. We've got a dietitian who's gone through with a list of what we need to provide, and that'll be delivered twice a month. We're hoping to start that at the end of April, 1st of May. The money will be flowing to us shortly, but even without that money, what the announcement did was actually create an opportunity for seniors to call us. So we identified this as a really major need among seniors. The second phase of that, without money or whichever we'll find the resources, is also people who are in isolation. So our second step will be really to help seniors who are isolated and just need a contact, so phone calls, working with agencies and making sure that seniors are in touch with someone and we understand what they need at different times. In British Columbia, for example, they've got volunteers helping with, gardening or painting or anything that a senior might need right away. So we're seeing how feasible that is to bring to Kingston as well. The second part of, go ahead.
No, you finished that thought.
The second part of money we got from the federal government, and I can't say enough about the Reaching Home Funds for Homelessness. They were the first government funder out of the gate. Just like us, we had told our agencies, you know, your money's flexible right now. Just invest it where you need it the most. They did exactly the same thing at the same time. And so we've got Reaching Home money, about $623,000 for Kingston. That's over and above anything they've given us before. And that's going directly to help people who are homeless. Mm. We've had a meeting with city shelters, with addictions, mental health, detox, and they've made it really flexible on how we can invest that. So really appreciative of the federal influx of money. That's really going to be worthwhile, and it's for a whole year, so we can also plan recovery with this.
Yeah, I know that generally speaking, the intent of just about everything that the government has done, you know, with respect to the COVID-19 funding, has been less about being perfect and the checks and balances in place, and more about getting it out there. So whether it's about getting money into the pockets of Canadians who are struggling, or getting money into the agencies that can spend it, there's been less red tape about, you know, yes, you know, what are you going to do with this and this, and do an application for this. And it's just more about get it out there and get the, in particular, the agencies that you know, have a lot of credit to get them actually spending it. And the United Way would definitely be one of those. But my question that I had related to that is, one of the concerns, and, you know, I used the $9 million as an example. You said that 65,000 of it comes to our area, which, I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's still not a lot of money. And I know that the United Way will use it to the best of their ability, and they're extremely grateful for it locally. But one of the concerns that government usually has is about, if you start to give too much money, the efficiency of the money starts to reduce. As an opportunity to plug, you know, the possibility of more money coming down, would you say that getting twice as much, so if Kingston, the United Way in our area was to get $130,000, would you be able to have double the impact, or would you lose efficiency?
No. The United Way would be fortunate because we can cover, as a funder, we've got funds to cover our own staffing, to cover different parts of the program. So what we can do is really invest. The $65,000 is going to food and a bit of coordination, but we're not charging for any other staffing or additional resources that we'll be putting in the volunteer coordination. We can do that for free, so to speak, because we're already raising money for these programs. So double the money, you get more than double the impact. Right. Okay. Actually more than double, because we'll find different ways to leverage more, especially as the United Way is a trusted partner. Our goal is not to do anything for ourselves. It's really to help the community. So whatever we can do to leverage, we will leverage and get more people. And then the range of volunteers we can get, or the additional investments to add on to any government investments, is where the beauty lies. It's us working together collectively.
So I guess my last question, you know, if people are out there are interested in donating to the United Way, you're still taking donations, obviously. I don't imagine that you would ever stop. But what's the, you know, where is the need right now? Is it, what's the best way for people to get involved?
So I would say a couple of things. One is people are looking for supports. On our website, our staff have taken the time to update it to make sure that people know where to go. So if you go to our homepage, unitedwaykfla.ca /COVID-19 supports, you'll find a page that's constantly being updated with all kinds of resources of where, how people can find help, whether it's counseling or shelter or food. So that's a really important piece, including where grocery stores and pharmacies deliver or don't, that kind of thing. We also have a page that's for fun, so people can donate through that page, COVID-19, again on our website. It's on the homepage. And those donations will go wherever the need is the most. So right now the need is food and basic needs. But as we start to recover, we're working closely with our agencies to understand what we need to do to plan for the future as well. So anything that's raised in the COVID fund will stay local and it will be invested with no admin, nothing charged to it. And then the third thing is volunteering. We're getting a lot of people who want to help in any way they can, whether it's from home or driving or hands-on. They can go to our website again, to the volunteer center, just /volunteer, and they can register to volunteer as well. So those are the three areas where we can have the most impact, and that's what we're doing is for the community.
Well, thanks a lot, Pavna. I know that you've been running the United Way for a number of years in Kingston, and I can't imagine anybody else that could do a better job than you will be doing at this particular time of need for so many people in our community. So thanks to the United Way and to everything that you guys are doing. There's no doubt that government wouldn't be able to do what they do if they didn't have partners like the United Way out there to help deliver and impact the lives of so many people.
And thank you for your leadership. Yeah, thanks for all you're doing.
Well, thanks, Pavna. Okay.
And there you have it, folks. That was Pavna Varma, CEO of the United Way in Kingston. We hope you enjoyed that chat and look forward to bringing you another one real soon.